You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Today's date is Tuesday the 31st of May 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we've got some news articles highlighting the division in society between the left-wing progressives and the normal people with traditionalist views. And the left-wing progressives think that they represent everybody, and in actual fact they just represent a tiny minority. And the first article is referring to Ricky Gervais' comedy special, which we talked about in Real Britannia yesterday. Tesla CEO Elon Musk called out virtue signaling critics who panned a new Ricky Gervais stand-up comedy special, despite audience members rating it highly. So people that watched the show thought it was brilliant, they thought it was hilarious. And yet there's been all this criticism of it in the mainstream media, and yet it's only a tiny portion of people that are complaining about this. The stand-up special on Netflix, Supernature, has been criticized for being transphobic, and the comedian also jokes about racism, identity politics, and Hitler. So he's hitting all the taboo subjects there, and that's what comedy is about, really. It's about breaking new ground, it's about hitting these taboo subjects, because we find taboo subjects funny. If you're not supposed to be talking about something, then it's daring to be discussing it. And a lot of the time, these subjects are things that do need to be talked about. And comedy is one of the ways that we can bring these subjects up, and we can break the ice by sort of joking about something. And often there are important points that can actually be raised through comedy, things that need to be discussed, things that shibboleths, I guess you would call them, things that people just take for granted as being so, and yet when you actually think about them, it's not so sensible to be thinking in that way. Particularly things such as gender and transgenderism and all the things that are going on with that. Still, many who watched Gervais' show tweeted about how much they enjoyed it. And on Sunday, the Atlantic staff writer Connor Friedersdorf tweeted a screenshot from movie rating site Rotten Tomatoes, showing that 92% of the more than 250 people who watched the special rated it well. At the same time, though, only 14% of 7 professional critics gave the stand-up routine a high rating. And this is because the mainstream media is filled with these left-wing progressive types. Saying years ago, I used to wonder why it was that the mainstream media used to promote certain bands and not others. And I used to listen to the music and I used to think, well, this is doing nothing new. And of course, the reason for it is that a lot of these musicians were left-wing musicians, and that's why they were being promoted, because the mainstream media seeks to direct public opinion. It doesn't reflect public opinion, it seeks to direct it. And this is why I'm so pleased to see that Elon Musk is buying Twitter, because he does genuinely seem to support free speech. And if we did actually have a genuine democracy, then we would get the wisdom of crowds and the best ideas would rise to the surface. Instead of having crazy ideas, such as these left-wing progressive ideas, being promoted as if it's with the unanimous consent of the country, when of course it isn't. And this really shows this. Over 90% of people that watched this thought it was hilarious, yet only 14% of the critics gave it a high rating. In response, Musk wrote, "The critics seek not to critique, but rather to virtue signal. They are out of touch with the people, and so they lose their credibility with the people." And they are completely out of touch with people. And it's not just the critics, it's also the politicians, it's also the people that make the laws. I mean, they make these laws that are supposed to prevent violent attacks against minorities, but by the time that they actually get out to the public, the laws are effectively preventing people from being able to talk about social problems, and the laws end up being used to censor people with opposing political views. So they effectively end up silencing any opposition to the regime. Gervais's new stand-up special came just 1 week after Netflix dished out a new culture memo to staff, telling them that if they are offended by the content the company is working on, they can leave. And this is really rather surprising, because Netflix is well known for being extremely progressive and replacing as many white people as they possibly can with non-whites in their historical dramas. I think they were also responsible for putting out that show that sexualized children a while back and had them twerking. So Netflix is an extremely progressive organization. So it is surprising to see that they are now telling staff that if they don't like what's going on, they can leave. The new guidance came largely in response to workers saying they would part ways with the company if it continued to work with Dave Chappelle, whose recent specials for the streaming giant have caused backlash over jokes against transgender people. And there were all these protests about that. Dave Chappelle may even have been physically assaulted at some point about this. The policy, titled Artistic Expression, asserts that brass at the company will not censor specific artists or voices, even if employees consider the content to be, quote, harmful. And this is just it. They say that words themselves are harmful. I don't see how they can actually be harmful. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's what we always used to be taught at school, and now people are taught that if they hear somebody having a different opinion to themselves, then they have the right to demand that a person be silenced and that the full force of the law be used against them. In response to a tweet noting the change, Musk tweeted, "Good move by @Netflix." And yes, we have to give credit where credit is due. His tweet was a stark about-face from an earlier online assertion in April in which he slammed the streamer for pandering to progressive staffers whilst hemorrhaging subscribers. Now, this is the really interesting thing, because Netflix are losing all their subscribers. And this goes with this saying, go woke, go broke, which doesn't really appear to be true. I mean, we saw Gillette lose lots of money from their progressive adverts. We've seen lots of companies lose lots of money by doing these things. Even Twitter itself and Facebook have lost money with their censorship, and yet they still continue with the censorship. And Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson has pointed out that BlackRock and that other organization, I forget the name of it now, that other financing organization, they are actually invested in a lot of these companies, and this left-wing progressivism comes from them. So these companies know that if they promote this sort of stuff and they do lose money, it doesn't matter, because they're still going to get the funds from the larger organization, which is promoting this. So it's interesting to see that Netflix are actually responding to the fact that they're losing viewers. Musk said the woke mind virus is making Netflix unwatchable, and that's what he said responding to a tweet about the subscription service's recent abysmal subscriber numbers. And it's not just making Netflix unwatchable. I mean, the BBC is just as bad. Sky is just as bad. They all seem intent on replacing as many white people as possible. Musk wrote in a follow-up tweet, "Can they please just make sci-fi and fantasy at least mostly about sci-fi and fantasy?" And apparently there's a new Star Trek out which looks at an alternative timeline and mentions the the protest at the Capitol at the election as being the starting point for some terrible thing happening. I mean, the left really do have this big fantasy about that actually being a genuine insurrection, although how could it be an insurrection when it was in support of the sitting president? At the time, the company's quarterly report revealed that the company had lost 200,000 users between January and March this year, causing shares to plummet by 25%, with a further 2 million subscribers set to leave by June. So who knows, perhaps people leaving a company may get them to change their progressive ways. It does certainly seem as if these companies are completely out of touch with the viewers. The critics certainly are. The BBC have even admitted this recently, that they are out of touch with viewers. The BBC has criticised an arts reporter who made a misleading comment on J.K. Rowling's views on gender identity. Tom Sutcliffe made the statement on BBC Radio 4's Front Row programme on March 24th that J.K. Rowling's critical view on whether transgender women are women is very unpopular. Well, no, it's not unpopular, is it? It is the popular view. It was the default view for millennia, right up until a year or two ago. And this just shows you that these critics, these talking heads that they have at the BBC, they're not reflecting public opinion. They are trying to shape public opinion. The journalist was complained about 584 times, and the BBC's complaints unit said there is no evidence that Rowling's view is in a minority. It's the transgender lobby that is the minority. They have a lot of weight behind them because they have a lot of investment from banks, and again, from these left-wing financing firms. They finance these transgender lobbies, the civil rights lobby, all of these various different minorities. They promote them because it helps to divide society. And if you have a divided society, then you don't have any united resistance to the policies that are coming out from the government. Of course, the policies that come from the government are heavily weighted to what these corporations want to do. It's all about preventing any resistance, preventing any genuine opposition to what's going on. The Executive Complaints Unit, the ECU, said in a ruling, "In the ECU's view, it was legitimate to discuss J.K. Rowling because she featured in the interviewee's book," which is a fact which was reflected in Mr. Sutcliffe's question. "As to comparing her case with others, the ECU noted that Mr. Sutcliffe did so in the context of distinguishing between expressing opinions, as J.K. Rowling had done, and committing criminal acts, and considered that this was neither harmful nor offensive." And this is the point, isn't it? If people are just expressing their opinion, how can that be considered a criminal act? Yet it is. And we even have these non-crime hate incidents, which are not criminal acts, but are still being recorded by the police, and the government are still promoting this, despite the fact there was an appeals court ruling that said that this was completely unlawful. And we've got to a stage where people are just frightened to actually say their opinion. They're frightened to oppose government policy, because if they do, they will be accused of being harmful with their language. They'll be accused of literally being violent simply with the words that they say. The ECU did agree, however, that Mr. Sutcliffe's reference to a very unpopular opinion was potentially misleading, because while it had clearly proved objectionable to some, there was no conclusive evidence that the objectors represented a majority. And I think the view that we see all the time from the BBC doesn't actually reflect the majority. It's a minority opinion. It's a minority that want to see transgenders in everything, that want to see diversity in everything. This comes down from the top, trying to portray the country as if it has always been diverse. I mean, there was complaints a while back that a book about Anglo-Saxon England didn't represent any transgenders in it. I mean, they're literally trying to rewrite history in order to be inclusive. And I guess you could say, well, the drive to be inclusive is a good one. I mean, you want to include people, but at the same time, you don't want to portray a completely false view of reality, because history is what everything else rests upon, isn't it? It's the foundations of the house. And if the foundations of the house are false, then the house is eventually going to come collapsing down, which appears to be what is happening to our civilization at the moment. Sutcliffe was interviewing Eric Hatala-Mate's book about cancel culture at the time, and Rowling features in a book that Mattis wrote about the phenomenon. So that's where this interview, what this interview was about, basically. Now we have an Attorney General, a new Attorney General, Suella Braverman, and she replaces the previous Attorney General, who had a loud, booming voice, an absolutely wonderful voice that the Attorney General had. And you'll remember that that he was talking in Parliament with Theresa May all about Brexit, and everybody was really impressed by this Attorney General. And yet at the same time, we have to criticise him for his treatment of Tommy Robinson. I mean, he was in the news, the mainstream news, for supporting Brexit or going against Theresa May, and yet at the same time he was keeping Tommy Robinson in prison for months. I mean, the poor guy came out looking like a complete wreck of a man, basically, and it was simply for filming on the steps of a court. Well, that Attorney General has been replaced, and we now have a new Attorney General, Suella Braverman, and she appears to be saying some very sensible things. She has praised J.K. Rowling for her views on the transgender issue, and she says schools should not have to pander to pupils who see themselves in a different birth gender. The Tory minister said the Harry Potter author was a heroine for campaigning for female-only spaces for those born women, and added that schools should be able to treat all children by their birth gender. And this goes completely against what the Scottish government are doing, where they're telling teachers that they should be diagnosing whether a child is transgender from the age of 3, and not even telling the parents about it, and referring to them by whatever gender the teacher thinks the child wants to be referred to as. So this is an absolute breath of fresh air to have this Tory minister saying that you should not be doing that, and you should be treating children by their birth gender. She said schools should not address trans pupils by their chosen pronouns or permit them to wear a school uniform of a different gender. This goes totally against the government's own advice, where professionals are supposed to reaffirm whatever the presented gender is of the person that they are talking to. This is why doctors cannot suggest to children that claim to be transgender that they may have autism, or they may be bipolar, or they may have body dysmorphia. They're not allowed to do that because they have to reaffirm the gender of the transgender person. So this is really surprising that we have the Attorney General here who is saying that schools should be doing the opposite. She said schools should not address trans pupils by their chosen pronouns. And she added that since those aged under 18 cannot legally change their gender, schools are entitled to treat all children by their birth gender. So this goes against what the trans lobby are promoting, and against what the government are promoting. The Attorney General also told the Times that Rowling, who has come under fierce criticism for her views on gender, is very brave, very courageous, and she is on her side on the trans issue. Now, this is really good. Remember, this is the Attorney General. This is right at the top of the legal establishment. Now, I thought I'd have a look at this lady, because this is the first I've ever heard of her. She appears to be non-white, she appears to be a Buddhist, and I think she supports Brexit as well. And I've got a little bit about her here from Wikipedia. In March 2019, Suella Braverman stated in a speech for the Bruges Group, and the Bruges Group was a pro-Brexit group, one of the more right-wing parts of the Conservatives. She stated in a speech that as Conservatives, we are engaged in a battle against cultural Marxism. So this is the Attorney General using the phrase cultural Marxism. Journalists present at the event included Dawn Foster, who challenged Braverman's use of the term cultural Marxism, highlighting its anti-Semitic history and its connection to the manifesto of the mass murderer Anders Breivik. Well, simply because Anders Breivik used the term doesn't mean that nobody else can use it. Anders Breivik also breathed in oxygen. Does that mean we can no longer breathe air because Anders Breivik breathes the same air as us? Braverman responded, "Yes, I do believe that we are in a fight against cultural Marxism. We have a culture evolving from the far left, which is about snuffing out freedom of speech." So she doubled down on this when she got challenged about it. Her use of the term was condemned as hate speech by other MPs, the Board of Deputies of British Jews, and the anti-racist organisation Hope Not Hate, amongst other anti-racist charities. Braverman denied that the term was an anti-Semitic trope, saying, "We have culture evolving from the far left, which has allowed the snuffing out of freedom of speech and the freedom of thought. I am very aware of that ongoing creep of cultural Marxism, which has come from Jeremy Corbyn." And of course, it doesn't just come from Jeremy Corbyn. It came about from the Frankfurt School when they realised that the proletarians of the world were not going to unite and overthrow the government. The workers of the world were not going to do that. They decided we're going to have to find another group in society, another persecuted and oppressed group to do this with. And they decided that what they would do is they would promote this idea of being oppressed amongst various minorities. So they thought, well, we'll use ethnic minorities, we'll use sexual minorities, we'll tell the women that they're being oppressed by the men. We'll get as many groups as possible to believe that they are being oppressed, and this will divide society, and this will allow us to have this cultural revolution that we've been trying to get going, that the workers of the world showed that they were not interested in. That's the origin of cultural Marxism. It didn't just come about from Jeremy Corbyn. Jeremy Corbyn is just one of the modern manifestations of it. But it's great that this lady is speaking about it, the Attorney General, bringing this up. After meeting with her later, the Board of Deputies of British Jews said in a subsequent statement that she is not in any way anti-Semitic, saying that it believed that she did not intentionally use anti-Semitic language, whilst finding that she is clearly a good friend of the Jewish community and that they were sorry to see that the whole matter has caused distress. So they're not actually saying there that it's not anti-Semitic language, they're saying that she didn't intentionally use anti-Semitic language. I mean, why would it be anti-Jewish to use the term cultural Marxism? I mean, by saying that that is an anti-Jewish phrase, it's basically implying that cultural Marxism comes from Jews, and it's certain Jews were involved in theorizing this idea of using the different ethnic minorities, but there were also various non-Jews that were involved in this, and we often find some of the strongest promoters of it are not Jewish. Jeremy Corbyn, for instance, he is not Jewish, and yet he is a big promoter of cultural Marxism. Everybody on the left is. The whole anti-white idea is a cultural Marxist idea, and it is mainly white women that end up promoting it. In a December 2015 op-ed, Braverman wrote, "In essence, rights have come to fill the space that was once occupied by generosity. To correct the imbalance, perhaps we should adopt a universal declaration of responsibilities and duties to be read in tandem with that on human rights. A fair, decent, and reasonable society should question the dilution of our sense of duty, the demotion of our grasp of responsibility, and our virtual abandonment of the spirit of civic obligation. What we do for others should matter more than the selfish assertion of personal rights and the lonely individualism to which it gives rise." And that could have been something that we spoke about, or we wrote here at Radio Albion. I mean, this is exactly what we believe here, that rights come with duties. You cannot have the right to not ever hear anybody having a different opinion to you, and it should be your duty to be tolerant of people having a different opinion to you. And really, when you when you look at what we have in the world and everything that is done for us, we come into the world as babies. We're not capable of doing anything for ourselves, and everything is done for us. And surely, if everything is done for you from a very early age, when you come to the age when you can understand things, the first thing you're going to think about is not, it's my right to be given all of this, but surely it's my duty to repay this back, isn't it? How do I pay the lovely people back that have looked after me until now? Well, the way you pay them back is to produce another generation, and also to improve the situation for the next generation in the same way that the generation before you improved the situation for you. I mean, really, it is a sense of duty that is the most apparent thing that you just get from looking around you, not the right to take things. And I think that's what she's saying here. Maybe it ties in with her Buddhist beliefs that we should have responsibilities and duties rather than rights. Anyway, it's very good to see that this Attorney General is saying these things and is going against the transgender agenda. But why doesn't she speak up about this in Parliament? Why doesn't she get some changes in the law? Because the direction that the government is going in, it's encouraging teachers to do these things and to refer to children by their by whatever gender they decide they want to be. I mean, we even have this gender fluid idea now. We had a school in the Isle of Wight that told one of their pupils that if they didn't refer to their classmate as a girl or a boy, depending on what they felt like they were that day, then they were transphobic. I mean, what does she think of that? Surely she should be speaking up about this. But it's good to see that she is speaking up about it, at least in op-eds. Let's hope that she does something about it in her position as Attorney General. Well, while the Conservative Party appear to be nominally trying to conserve gender norms, fresh Labour infighting broke out over trans issues as the party chair contradicted a fellow MP on whether some women were born with penises. In an interview, frontbencher Annalise Dodds was challenged over whether she agreed with Stella Creasy. Well, no, I don't agree with her. Biological females obviously aren't. Of course, there are also trans women who have made the transition in their gender, but sex is not the same as gender, she told Sky News Ridge on Sunday. But I would say that obviously I have a huge amount of respect for my colleague, Stella Creasy. She has done a huge amount of campaigning for women. But on that issue around biology, I do have a different opinion. How can you have a different opinion on biology? Biology is biology. It cannot be changed. It's been the same for millennia. People try to divorce a gender from biology. And what they're trying to do here today is to conflate gender with biology, to say that if somebody changes their gender, they do actually change their biological sex. They don't. They just change their gender. All they can do is change themselves cosmetically. They can present themselves as the opposite gender, but it doesn't change their chromosomes, it doesn't change their biology. And what people are being asked to do is to pretend that the actual biology has changed, not just to pretend that the gender has changed. I mean, of course, people are going to be courteous and refer to somebody as whatever gender they present to you as, but to force people to pronounce that they actually are the opposite sex is, that's just totalitarianism. And going back to this Isle of Wight thing, I mean, they're effectively telling this child that he has to properly believe that his classmate has changed into a girl or a boy, depending on how they feel that day. And of course, that's going to be very confusing for a young child who is being told the opposite of what he can actually see. This is where we've got to. Getting back to the news here, we have another news article here concerning a member of the Conservative Party who has upset the trans lobby. Transgender supporters hounded the Secretary of State for Education as he visited the University of Warwick, with the institution's Pride Society accusing him of inciting hate. Who was it this time? Nadeem Zahawi was ushered away by security as protesters at the university chanted, "Tory scum, and Zahawi is a transphobe," with some holding placards and wearing the transgender flag. Prior to the event, Warwick Pride accused the minister of inciting hatred after he defined women as adult human females. So simply just to say that a woman is an adult human female is now conflated with inciting hate. And what do they mean by inciting hate? They mean inciting such hatred in the person listening that they would want to go out and kill someone. I mean, that's what they mean by inciting hate. They don't just mean encouraging somebody not to like someone. They mean inciting hatred sufficient to encourage murder. And yet all he has done is point out biology, that women are adult human females. The activists were blocked by security as they tried to follow Mr. Zahawi out of the campus building as he left to get into his car, the Telegraph reported. He had been speaking at an event organised by the University of Warwick Conservative Association on Friday. Well, I'm very surprised they even have a Conservative Association in any universities nowadays. The association said that he discussed the future of our education system and then moved on to topics ranging from housing to how to engage more young people within the party. So it's not like he's even a minister for anything to do with trans issues. This is just something that he said. This is just his own personal opinion, a personal opinion that is in tune with all biology textbooks. And yet, because he has said this, the university's Pride Union, Pride Association, has actually come out and chased him out of the university. Again, it just shows you how left-wing these universities are now. Warwick Pride, the university's LGBTQIA+ association, issued an open letter before the talk stating that some of the society's executive planned on attending the event with trans flags and the intention to ask Zahawi questions concerning the rights of trans people in the UK. So they described this as just going there in order to ask him questions, but the result of it was that he got chased out of the university and had to have security protect him on his way to the car. So, I mean, who is the one that is hateful here? Who is the one that is causing somebody to be fearful? It's the LGBTQ Association that is causing Mr. Zahawi to be fearful. Not the other way around, simply because he said that women are adult females. They say, this is the LGBT association, that is, they say, given that transphobia is omnipresent in society, well, is it? I mean, are people frightened of transgenders? I don't think people are frightened of transgenders. I think people have a lot of compassion for transgenders and people that have gender dysphoria. It's just that they're not going to go along with the delusions, are they? They're not going to acquiesce to the delusions that somebody that was born male can just turn themselves into a female simply by changing their outwards appearance. They say it is imperative for the mental well-being of trans students that the university make itself clear that it is indeed supportive of transgender individuals and that reactionary, harmful, transphobic rhetoric will not go unopposed. Well, I'm sure the university has made itself very clear that they do support transgender individuals, but they also have to support people that have different opinions. And how is it harmful, transphobic rhetoric just to point out what the biological facts are? This is the thing. They say trans rights are simply not up for debate. They are non-negotiable. Well, I don't think Mr. Zahawi is arguing that trans don't have any rights. All he's doing is pointing out biological reality. The society said in its letter that the talk clearly violates SU bylaws on equality and diversity. Well, the talk wasn't anything about transgenderism. What they're saying is because this MP once said something that they don't like, then he should not be given a platform to talk about anything else. And it's just complete totalitarianism that we have here. And it's so incredible that the very people that are complaining about this and about this inciting hate, they are the ones that are causing people to be fearful. They are the ones that have this totalitarian idea that everybody else has to go along with their opinion. They cannot stand to have anybody else have a different opinion to them. They say, we cannot fault the SU for its inaction regarding our complaint about this event. Nadeem Zahawi, being a government minister, clearly puts them in a complex position if they were to cancel the external speaker event. However, the notion that Zahawi does not incite hatred is ludicrous at best. I mean, do they have any self-awareness at all, these people? Prior to the protest, the society also said that it does not condone any violent behaviour. Any acts of violence at this event are discouraged and not to be affiliated with us, it said. Well, Mr. Zahawi had to have security taken him to his car. It was obvious that there was a fear of violence there, and it was not violence from Mr. Zahawi, was it? It was violence from the LGBTQ union. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.